Today's sermon title is Courageous Service. Courageous Service. I'm going to start today with the same questions I'm going to end with. And that is, what is your general level of effort to get yourself or others to Jesus? What is your level of effort when God asks you to do something and it is difficult or inconvenient? I got some oofs over here. This one's going to be a doozy, guys. You might want to buckle in. I know I've got some words from God on my own life answering these questions. So courage, you can get in lots of conversations about courage. So we'll go to Merriam-Webster, who describes courage as a mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. It implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. So courageous service would be to serve others or serve yourself and serve God, even though there might be fear of being vulnerable or it might be difficult or inconvenient. We're going to talk about a couple stories in the Bible. I'm going to preface this because God and I went down some rabbit holes because I want to dive into each one of these stories. But the point of the story is not to dive into each one of those. As we go through these stories today, we're going to focus on the level of effort of folks, not the outcomes of their actions. This is a message about your hearts and your willingness to serve regardless of the outcomes. And that's a difficult one for this operational-minded person. That's all about key performance indicators and goals and objectives. When you serve with your heart, when you serve with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, in God's kingdom, if you're just looking for those outcomes, it is going to be a tough road and you're going to get disappointed. Because a lot of the stuff that we get to do as Christians, helping others find Jesus, we don't always get to see the outcome. It's like having someone come by. It's like you going by somebody's garden and planting the seeds and never passing by there again to see the fruits of your labor. But yet you know you planted the seeds. You know God gave you part of something, even if you didn't get to see the harvest. So when we go through these stories, we're really focusing on the level of effort that people did to help somebody else out and to help themselves out. So I just want to focus on that. Okay, so we're going to get started with serving others first. Actions that help or do something for others. In Luke 5, 17 through 20, we have a story about some gentlemen that helped somebody. Okay. One day, 17 through 20, that's my problem. I'm starting with one. I just said 17 there. Okay. I was like, this is not what I want to read. Okay, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So you've got this crowded place. People chose to carry another who was unable to go to Jesus on their own. We don't know if these folks were local or if they weren't. We've got Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. They might have carried him from somewhere there. They might have carried him locally. We don't know. So we can't determine how far they carried, but they carried somebody unable to get themselves to where they needed to go. And don't just think physical, spiritual, emotional. They get to the place and they can't find a way in. It's too crowded. They can't get past. They don't give up. The scriptures do not fill in the pieces for us, but we can surmise they had to talk this over. They had to formulate a plan. They had to find resources to make this happen. Unless they by chance just happened to carry tools around to break through a ceiling and rope to lower somebody down through it. And it's not just talk. Maybe it's just me. I'm guilty of like these elaborate plans and we're going to do all this stuff and then like follow through. Like these guys, they talked it out. They formulated a plan. They went around and found resources. And then they actually implemented their plan. Can you picture going to a building that you don't own and being so convicted of what you have been asked to do that you figure out a way for you and the person that you're carrying to get up on the roof, break through the ceiling, and use your strength to get somebody where you need them to go? Courageous service to another. The level of effort was beyond what most would do. Example number two. We've got this guy, Paul. And he's all over Acts. He shows up in Acts. Paul was called to spread the word of God to others and encourage them to keep the faith. In Acts 14, 1 through 7, let's start reading that. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonia cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Paul travels to Iconium. He did so well preaching the word that he made enemies. To escape danger, he left. Did he stop preaching and teaching and encouraging others? No. He's just like, I've done all I can here for now. I'm going to go to the next place. He moved to other cities, Lystra and Derbe. Lystra is a bit difficult as the crowds want to worship and sacrifice to Saul and his partner Barnabas. As they are communicating about God being the one to worship their enemies. So there's a lot that transpires. We're not going to read it all. But basically, he goes to this other town. He does the same thing. So, and they're like wowed by his ways of speaking. They're wowed by some of his miracles. And so they want to worship. And they want to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And they're like, well, no. The person that brings you rain is God. The person that brings all the things that you need is God. So they're trying to talk to these folks about who the true person is that brought the healing, that brought the word, that brings literally the rain. But their enemies show up from Iconium and Iconium and Antioch. And they turn the crowd. And they drag Paul outside of the city. And they stone him. Thinking he is dead, they leave him out there. We'll read 19 through 20 of chapter 14. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, him and Barnabas left and went back to Derbe. The disciples gathered around him. They didn't scatter. courage. Paul gets up. He gets up and goes back into the city that he was just dragged out of. The next day, they go back to Derbe, and then they go back to Lystra, and then they go back to Iconium, and then they go back to Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them. Paul perseveres through literal stones being thrown at him. He continues when the crowd mistakes his healing of a person and how he communicates as him being little G God. He does not give up on them. He goes back and revisits everybody, the towns that his enemies are in. The level of effort and courage to do what God asked them to do is beyond what most would do. Church, we are called to do difficult things that involve all sorts of challenges. I'm going to name a couple, but there's all of us have our own challenges. Sometimes we get to go through those challenges together. Sometimes we have individual challenges for us. Inconvenience, fear, vulnerability, judgment, jealousy, to name a couple stones that might be thrown at you. Roadblocks, time. Man, there's never enough time, is there, when we're misprioritized? Now, some of us are willing to go the extra mile for somebody else. Some of us, that's the easy thing. But what about serving yourself? What about fighting for yourself? That can be difficult for some of us. So there is a gal in Luke 8, 43 through 48. And man, she fights for herself. She fights hard. Now, I'm going to back up to 40. I know I have 43 up there. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way to that, the crowds almost crushed him. So picture trying to leave a place like a stadium that's packed full of people. That's what this is. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." Referred to, they almost crushed him. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This individual has been bleeding for 12 years. The scriptures don't say this, but I'm not a doctor, but we could surmise she most likely was anemic, which makes you feel super tired and very weak. Blood is life, and it's leaking from her body. But here she is, fighting her way through a crowd so thick that it's described as almost crushing Jesus. She was unclean. Blood was unclean, and if you were bleeding, you had to go outside the city. But here she is, in public, reaching as she goes. The level of effort and courage to go and do what God laid upon her heart to get to Jesus is beyond what most would do. Do you fight for yourself to get a healing like that? Church, are you willing to go above and beyond what most would do to get others and yourself more Jesus? Are you willing to put in a level of effort that perseveres through difficulty and inconvenience so others can see Jesus, so you can see Jesus more clearly. Leading to a relationship. This is the cool thing. You get closer. It's leading to a relationship or a deeper relationship with Jesus that will be life-changing in spiritual healing so that you can grow firmer in your faith, in mind, to face life circumstances with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. What a force to be reckoned with. Church, what is your general level of effort to get yourself and others to Jesus? It's a question we need to meditate on. What is your level of effort when God asks you to do something and it is difficult or inconvenient? That's a good one to ask yourself too, because service can be pretty easy when it's like, oh yeah, that's on my way. Sure, I'll drop that off. Yeah, 5 minutes, no worry. Oh, you want me to go 2 miles one way? Are you willing to be the one in that moment? Are you willing to be vulnerable with yourself and others? Are you willing to allow God to shine and get the glory? Are you willing to be dependent on God? Are you willing to be obedient and follow God's guidance and direction? Are you willing to be an extension of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be a courageous servant to yourself and to others? Are you willing to go above and beyond what most would do? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we go into this week, God, that we meditate upon these things, that we really truly think about our willingness to serve in your kingdom, that we really think, God, about our level of effort on doing so, that we really think about our willingness to persevere for those difficult things you ask us to do, God, either for ourselves or for others. God, thank you for this, God. And it's going to be a vulnerable moment this week as we go out and we try to spend time with you on these very deep questions, God. I pray for a courageous faith for us to learn about how we can courageously serve. In your precious name we pray. Amen.